Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. As always, it's good to be in God's house. And I am so thankful to be here with you this morning. It's good to be back home with you guys and with our church family. For just a moment, I want to say thank you to the church for allowing myself and Amy Lee some time for vacation. But we are super glad to be back home. We missed you guys last week. And we had a good time, but we want to say thank you for that opportunity to go on vacation and spend some time together. This morning, if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, if you will turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, this morning we're going to read verses 3, 4, and 5 this morning as we continue our study in our sermon series entitled Discovering Jesus. Discovering Jesus. This morning's sermon title is simply this: Jesus is life. Jesus is life. We're continuing that sermon series entitled Discovering Jesus. We're looking at the question of who is Jesus Christ. John answers that question thoroughly all the way through his book and the Gospel of John. We began 2 weeks ago with the first three verses of chapter 1, and today we're going to pick up with chapter 1, and I said 3, 4, and 5. I was wrong. We're going to go with 4 and 5 this morning. This morning, there's one question that ought to be on our mind, and it is a question that is highly debated in our time and in our world today. And the question is this: where does life begin? Where does life begin? That question we see debated time upon time upon time in our news media. We see it debated in our presidential election. We see that question asked a lot. This morning, the two verses that we're going to read, verses 4 and verse 5, is going to very clearly give us an answer to that question. And in doing so, it is going to share a foundational truth to our faith. And again, it is going to help us discover the truth of who Jesus Christ really is. You know, last time we were together, we began looking at the deity of Christ. He was fully God. We also saw that he was the Word of God. This morning, we're going to continue under that same umbrella, looking at the fact of his deity with the today's sermon being entitled, Jesus is Life. Let's read God's Word, verse 4 and 5 of John chapter 1. Here's what God's Word says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the great and awesome opportunity we have to come into your house to hear a word from you, Father, so that, Father, we may be strengthened, encouraged, Father, to walk out of these doors to live a life that shines your light, that shares the message that you are life. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Father, I pray this morning that you would do a mighty work in our spirits this morning. Father, share your truth with us this morning. Father, I pray that it would be your wisdom and your wisdom alone. Father, I pray that it would be your words. Father, lead, guide, and direct us as we study your word this morning. Father, move us in response. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all you have done for us. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. You know, there were a group of scientists who got together one day to decide, and they came to the conclusion that man had come such a long way, and no longer did they need God. So they picked one scientist to go and to tell God that they were done with him. They didn't need him anymore. And so the scientists walked up to God and said, God, we've decided we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people. We can do many miraculous things, so we just don't need you anymore. God listened very patiently and kindly to the man, and after the scientist was done talking, God said, very well, how about this? Let's have a man-making competition. To which the scientist replied, okay, that sounds good. We can do that pretty easily. God added, now, we're going to do this just like I did in the old days with Adam. And the scientist said, sure, no problem. So as the scientist bent down to grab together for himself a handful of dirt, God just looked at him and said, oh, no, no. You get to make your own dirt. God created life. And we laugh at a funny story like that, but the truth is that our culture is already, if not, very close to the point of saying, God, we don't need you anymore. We've got this all figured out. We are very close, if not already, to the point of that mindset. We have been blessed with a tremendous amount of knowledge. We've been blessed with a tremendous amount of understanding about life processes and how life works. And we've begun to go along with the mindset of we know where life begins and we think it's in our own power. And we've said, God, we don't need you anymore. We've pushed God and Jesus to the back burner. There are three things that I want you to see this morning, and one of them is a foundational truth to our faith that we need to understand this morning, and it is found in verse 4, and it is the first point this morning as we discover who Jesus Christ is. The first point is this, that Jesus is life. Look at the beginning of verse 4 with me for just a second. The first four words, in him was life. Physical life and spiritual life is all found in the eternal Almighty God. Christ has always been before time. He is the matchless eternal King. He is life. John says here in verse 4 that in him was life. He is the very essence of everything that lives. It was created by Jesus Christ. It was created by God. In this one statement, John turns the thinking of the world on their head. The thinking of the world then and the thinking of the world now, he spins around and says, no, you are not the power and the authority to create life. That is God. One of the first attacks that the devil will make upon the minds of the lost in this generation and generations past is one that is geared at destroying this simple fact that Jesus is life. He is the creator and sustainer of everything that is around us. And the devil will attack that. Jesus Christ always was, always is, and will forever be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Physical life as we know it was created by God. And we know that Christ is fully God. Read verse 3 if you doubt that at all. In John chapter 1 verse 3 it says this about Christ. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Christ spoke life into existence. Physical life as we know it now was created by him. Life is derived from Jesus, the creating one. Jesus being fully God is self-existent. I want you to understand that this morning. When he says, in him was life, that before creation even began, there was God. God was there. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says this, that in the beginning God created. And from that very simple sentence structure, we understand that before creation existed, God was there. Jesus was there. Nothing was created that was created. He created everything. Nothing was created that was not made by him. It was God and God alone who step down and breathe life into Adam. It was God who created life. It is God who breathes life into us every morning when we wake up and we see His creation that He has made for us. Jesus is life. Jesus, who is fully God, creates and sustains the physical life that we have now. And I want to ask you this morning, church, if you woke up this morning and were thankful for the opportunity to live another day, to be thankful to the author who brought life to us this morning and began life for some of us a while ago, for some of us maybe not so long ago, but God gave us life. He sustains our life now. Have you ever stopped to just be thankful for that fact? That without Him, we cease to live and survive. He is life. In Him was life. Church, that tells me one thing. We serve an eternal God. We serve an eternal God. And that means one thing to me this morning, and I want to share this truth with you this morning. That no matter what happens today, no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter the outcome of the election in 3 weeks, whether your candidate wins or your candidate loses, no matter how the world reacts to that election, no matter what happens, Jesus Christ will still be on His throne. He will still exist, and He will still be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter the outcome, because Jesus Christ is, always was, and always will be on His throne and in control. We serve an eternal God who is life. But church, I want you to know something very quickly this morning. That here in this verse 4 this morning, when we're looking, it says, "In Him was life." The word life here doesn't just mean physical life. It doesn't mean, the word is not bios, like where we get our word biology from. It is zoe. It is a much deeper meaning than just physical life. When it says He, in Him was life, it is the meaning of a spiritual life. I want to read something to you this morning. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 2, it says this, "And you He made alive." Well, why did He have to make us alive? Because we were dead in our trespasses and sin. And once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You He made alive who were dead in the trespasses of sin. Jesus Christ is life, physically and spiritually. He is the only one that can bring spiritual life into the deadness of our sin. He is the only one who can fill our life with eternal life spiritually, because sin destroyed that for us. He is life. No wonder, and I want you to fill in the blank with me very quickly this morning as I finish this verse. Jesus said of Himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Over and over and over again, the Bible clearly hammers home the fact that Jesus Christ is the life, spiritually and physically. Three simple words that changes everything. We serve an eternal God who always was, who always is, and who will always be. Jesus Christ is life. It doesn't matter what your past may look like. It doesn't matter what your truth is, because the fact of the matter is that according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. You see, with God, there's not a hierarchy of sin, and if you reach this level, you're dead in your trespasses and sin, but these sins are okay. There's no hierarchy in that. There's no ranking of sin. Sin is sin, and all sin separates us from a loving, eternal God. He says, you are all dead in your trespasses and sin. Where can life come from? And the answer is none other than Jesus Christ, because he is life. Think about that for just a second. In him was life, physically and spiritually. And as we continue to look at this morning, that is a foundational truth for our faith, that Jesus Christ is life, that God is life. I want you to look this morning that not only does it say that he is life, but I want to talk about that life for just a second, because it goes on to begin to describe that for a minute. In verses 4 and 5, he says, not only in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life is light. These two words, life and light, will be used often throughout the book of John as he describes Jesus. And oftentimes, and many times, we are tempted to separate those two words. We have life on this side and we have light on the other. But the fact of the matter is, you cannot separate them. I want you to look at how this sentence is structured. And it may be a little bit more difficult in the English translation, but I want you to look very quickly with me at verse 4. It says this, and the life was the light of men. And then I want you to go very quickly back up to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then look at this. And the Word was God. You can't separate the Word and God. They are together. And this sentence that we have in verse 4 where it says, the life was the light of men, is constructed in the very same way in the Greek language as John chapter 1, verse 1. You cannot separate light and life. Even though we may be tempted to separate them, they are the same thing. They are inseparable. And Jesus, being life, is the light of men. John MacArthur sums it up very well in his commentary when he says this, and he starts the quote off with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God, is nothing more than a radiating, manifest life of God shining in his Son. So the light is God's life manifested through Jesus Christ. Now we all know what light is. We can look around us right now. There is an abundance of sunlight coming into this sanctuary this morning. There is light above us in the electricity that we have running through those light bulbs. We have light. We know what light is. But light is in contrast to darkness. And typically throughout the Bible, light is used to mean and to refer to two things. Intellectually, light refers to truth. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105 says this, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Light talks about truth. When he says that Jesus Christ is life and the life was the light of men, it means he is the absolute truth in this world. In a world that is full of lies and deception, Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. But not only does it mean something intellectually, but it also means something morally. Light refers to holiness. Light refers to holiness. Jesus Christ is the example of God's holiness. Jesus lived a sinless life, and was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Light refers to holiness, but it is in contrast to darkness, which is the ways of this world. Light is needed because of darkness. I want you to imagine with me for just a second that there was no sunlight coming into the sanctuary. Imagine with me for just a moment that we had no light in these light bulbs. We had no electricity in this building. There was no sunlight coming in. There was no light coming from up above. How dark would this sanctuary be? It'd get pretty dark. There would be a need for light. There would be a need for something to be in contrast to that darkness. When the Bible speaks about darkness, it speaks about this world and the one who is in power in this world now, the prince of the power of the air, the devil, Satan, a man who works in darkness. Light is there to make manifest, to make known, to be in contrast to the darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of men. He is the truth, and he is a physical embodiment of God's holiness. Light is needed because of darkness. And all of us, as the verse said earlier, walked in the ways of darkness. But when we receive Christ as our Savior, I want you to listen to what 1 chapter 2, verse 9 says about us. When we take hold of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light." Jesus is the truth. Jesus lived a holy and righteous life, and it was and is the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus came to this earth to be the light of men, to shine in the darkness. That is why we are called later on, when we become Christians, when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, that is why we are called to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and praise our Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine before all men. You don't light a candle to put it under a basket to hide it. You light a candle so that it shines in the darkness and the darkness is no longer the same. Go back to that example of this room being completely pitch black. Even the smallest candle makes a difference. The smallest candle dispels the darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of men. He is life, and that life is the light of men. That is why we are called to let our light shine before others. Not for our glory, not for us to be patted on the back, but so they may see our good deeds and praise our Father which is in heaven. Jesus Christ is life. That life is the light of men. And I want you to read verse 5 with me this morning because it gives us our third point. And our third point is simply this: darkness cannot overcome the light. Darkness cannot overcome the light. Look at verse 5 with me for just a second. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And you say, "Brother Ryan, where do you get that darkness cannot overcome the light?" Well, if you look at that verse in its original writing in the Greek language, the word "comprehend" here doesn't have the same meaning that we understand as comprehension has today. In fact, the word that they wrote here in the Greek actually has the meaning of overcome. So I want you to read this with me, and I want you to put "overcome" in that spot. And it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." The darkness did not overcome it. What we have written here doesn't actually mean an understanding or a comprehension. It means overcome. What John was really saying is the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot handle it. The darkness cannot overcome it. I want you to think and go back to the very beginning of history, from Genesis 1 all the way through the Bible, all the way through today. How many times has Satan tried to destroy the work of God through his son, Jesus Christ? How many times has Satan tried to destroy the story of redemption and salvation throughout history? Think about in the garden. God created the world. God created Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden. He walked with them. Satan tried to destroy it through sin and lies and deceit. God had a plan. It was his son, Jesus Christ. How many times did God raise up prophets throughout the Old Testament, and they would begin to speak God's word to the people, and Satan would say, no, 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 you sit down and be quiet. But God's word still got out. Even in Christ's own life, as he goes out, Satan tempts him and tries to get him to sin. But Christ was the living embodiment of holiness and yet did not sin. You think about the end times. You think about what the devil is busy doing right now at this time, trying to destroy the world God created and his creation itself. You think all that the devil is doing, we just went through the book of Revelation, we know what is to come, and yet we know this one simple fact from verse 5 in John chapter 1, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome the light. As I just said just a minute ago, even the smallest light in a dark room makes the whole room look different. And the darkness cannot overcome that light. Nothing will prevail over the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus will always be light. He will always make manifest what is in the darkness. Revelation tells us that the darkness will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity, and that Jesus Christ will sit on his throne. As an earthly king, he will have power and authority. There will be no more night. There will be no more darkness. Jesus will forever be the light of this world, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You say, Brother Ryan, that's nice. That's good. I like that truth. But what does that mean for me in my life? Can I tell you this morning? It means that no matter what you are going through, no matter what darkness you may see in your life, it doesn't matter what is going on, Jesus Christ is right there with you, and he is the light of this world. He is the light. It doesn't matter what goes on in this world. I told you before, it doesn't matter what happens in the next 3 weeks. It doesn't matter what happens in January. It doesn't matter what happens next year. It doesn't matter what happens today or what happens tomorrow. Jesus Christ is still on his throne. He is the matchless, eternal King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He was and is to come. Church, I don't know about you, but I am thankful that I serve an eternal God. I am thankful that I serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that no matter where this world goes, he is always on his throne. He is always in control because he is life. He is eternal. And that we serve a God who not only is life, but is the light of men. He gives us a hope. He gives us a peace. He gives us a comfort. He gives us the promise of a spiritual, eternal life that we can hang our hat on and live a life for him because of that promise. Revelation tells us there will be no more night, there will be no more darkness, that Jesus will forever be on his throne and be the light of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of the men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It cannot overcome him. It cannot outdo him. Jesus will forever be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You may be sitting here this morning and you're thinking, Brother Ryan, my life sure is in darkness. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn to. I don't know who I'm supposed to talk to. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where to go. Let me direct you in the only path that you can find peace, and that is straight towards life and a life in Jesus Christ, a hope and a light that is found only in him. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning as we finish our sermon and God's message? Many of us may still be sitting in darkness. Many of us may be sitting in the darkness of sin, the darkness of trials, tribulations. The Bible says that we have a light that shines in the darkness and a light that can't be put out. We know who to go to. We know who to seek, but the question is, will we go to that light, or will we try to find light in our own power and do it on our own? Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we seek you. Father, we trust in you. Lord, I pray that now in this time, Father, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that we would respond to your word. Father, we are thankful that you are life, that you give us this life, Father, that not only do you provide physical life, but you provide us with the promise of eternal life. And Lord, I pray that we would take hold of that. Lord, we seek you this morning. Father, move us in response to your word. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.